And we're going to be, our scripture reading is Luke chapter 2. I know we read it a lot at Christmas time. It's the Christmas story, but it can never be read too many times. So we're going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 20. I'm going to actually be focusing on verses 8 to 20. We're going to focus on the shepherds this morning, because it's their candle, the shepherd candle, and we're going to talk about their joy. So this is the birth of Jesus. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. And so Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. So we're going to unpack this passage and see what's going on the night that Jesus was born. We're going to focus on the shepherds. We're going to pick up the action in verse 8 and just unpack it. And then we're going to see what takeaways, what applications does the Lord have for you and myself this morning. And so this took place near Bethlehem. And Bethlehem was more like a little village, a hamlet. It was not really all that populous. It had a very small population, but it was the city of David, where David had been born. And so Mary and Joseph, they had to go back by Roman decree to register in the town that they were connected to, and that would be Bethlehem, the town of David. And so in verse 8 it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby," near Bethlehem, "and they were keeping watch over their flocks at night." Now, we don't know how many shepherds there were. It was a group, because they're spoken of in the plural, and the fields were not that far from Bethlehem. You know, in Philadelphia, we have Philadelphia proper, we have the suburbs, and then we have the country. Well, Bethlehem, you had this tiny little hamlet, Bethlehem, and then as soon as you stepped out of the boundaries of Bethlehem, you were in the country. So the shepherds were not that far from Bethlehem, watching over their sheep. And what were they watching over the sheep for? Well, there were wild animals. There were Arabian wolves. Doesn't that sound fancy? Well, they would eat the sheep. Arabian wolves. And they're still in Israel today. They still have wolves in Israel today, and they're called Arabian wolves. And when they would look at a sheep, they would think of lamb chops. You know, they like to eat sheep. And so the shepherds would be there watching the sheep. But back in Israel, they're extinct now. There also were lions. lions. And the lions were called Asiatic lions. They're extinct today, but they also lived in Israel. In fact, you might recall the story of where David, when he was a shepherd, he actually killed a lion. And so they are lions and shepherds, or rather lions and wolves. There also were bears, but they didn't really go after the sheep. It just would be the lions and the wolves that would eat the sheep. So the shepherds were in their fields keeping watch over the sheep to make sure that they were not attacked and eaten and decimated by wolves or lions that would be roaming. And then something spectacular happens. It was at nighttime. And there was no light pollution. You know, in our city, we have light pollution in Philadelphia. And you look up at the sky, and you see stars, some stars. But when you go out, I go camping, or used to go camping, up in upstate PA, and there was no light pollution. And you would step out and look up at the sky, and you would see billions and billions of stars. Because the light pollution didn't wash them out. And so just imagine, these shepherds are there. It's really dark, but the moon is out, perhaps. The stars are there, and they could see billions of stars. And they're just doing the same old stuff that they've always done. It was quiet. It was dark. The stars were there. And it also was predictable. They were shepherds. They did the same thing every day, every night. Take care of the sheep. Watch the sheep. And it was promising to be just the same old kind of night that it always was. But then something dramatic, something spectacular happened. It says in verse 9, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and he came in with a bang. It says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, in the scriptures, when it talks about the glory of the Lord, it's talking about light. That light represents God, represents His glory. And so, just one angel, the angel of the Lord, appears to the shepherds, and the whole place is lit up. And it says it shone around them, which is like 360 degrees. It was everywhere. So just imagine, you're there, it's pitch black. You're there out in the fields watching your sheep. Everything is quiet. Everything is calm. And all of a sudden, this bright light, like an explosion of light, appears. And it's an angel of the Lord. And you're blinking your eyes, trying to figure out what's going on. And you're also terrified. Because this doesn't happen to shepherds. And it doesn't happen in Bethlehem. And then the angel of the Lord speaks to them. It says, do not be afraid. Now, by this time, their adrenaline is pumping pretty good. And so even though he says, don't be afraid, you know, I think they still were kind of afraid because this does not normally happen. And they don't understand what's happening. But the angel says, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. So the angels at that moment, or rather the shepherds at that moment, knew that they weren't going to be annihilated. They knew that they weren't going to be killed. They knew that this angel of the Lord is announcing something that's good news to them and to all people. Now, initially, they probably thought that he's talking about the people of Israel because they were in a tight spot. They were living in Israel, in Palestine, and they were under Roman oppression. They did not have their own king. Herod didn't count. He was not of the line of David. He was half Jewish, half Edomite, so he did not really count as their king. The Romans were oppressive, and so when the angel says, I'm going to bring you good news of great joy for all the people, they're thinking of their nation. But we know from Scripture that it is truly for all the people, for you and for me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so this is good news for you and for me, for all people through all generations. And then the angel goes on and announces, he says, today in the town of David, a Savior, that would be Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. And then he announces that He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now those are powerful words. He's the Savior of the world. He's the Messiah, the one that God had promised, the anointed one who would come and reign over Israel. And He's also the Lord. and that meant that he was God in the flesh. And so the angel of the Lord announces that in Bethlehem today, a Savior is born. He is the Messiah, and he is God in the flesh, the Son of God. Now, Bethlehem wasn't that big, but how are you going to find and identify this newborn baby as the Messiah, as the one that God is sending to save you? Well, the angel says, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And so that's the angelic message from the angel of the Lord. But then look in verse 13. It gets even bigger and better. It's like, you know, you've been to fireworks and you always look forward to the finale. You know, you like the fireworks up until the finale, but you want them to get to the finale. You know, I remember back in 1976, I was in Bible college in downtown Philly at Philadelphia College of Bible, and it was the bicentennial year. And so my wife, well, she was my girlfriend then, Marcia, my wife-to-be, and friends of ours, we went up to the art museum and climbed up the stairs, didn't run them up like Rocky. We walked up the stairs and we're at the top, and there were seven locations over the city of Philadelphia that they were shooting fireworks off. And it was pretty good stuff. But I'll tell you, the finale, when all seven locations shot just hundreds and thousands of fireworks into the sky all at the same time, that was spectacular. Well, this was even more spectacular than that, because it says that a host of angels appeared in the sky, a great company of the heavenly host. And we know from the book of Revelation that the number of angels are in the thousands. And I don't know how many angels were there, but I wouldn't be surprised if God called up every single angel and just placed them in the sky over Bethlehem, over those shepherds. And they were there, and it was lit up in a most spectacular fashion. And then they began to sing. They began to sing this heavenly song. They were praising God, and this is what they sang: "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." You know, there are some Bible commentators that speculate that they sang this as like an antiphonal chant, that the one group of angels cried out, "Glory to God in the highest heaven," and then another group of angels would answer and say, "On earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And I don't think it was one time. I think it was a song, a concert of praise and joy and celebration over the birth of the Christ child. It was spectacular. And I bet you at that time the shepherds were standing there and their mouths had just dropped open, looking up. They were amazed and awed and dumbfounded at such a spectacular sight. It's also remarkable that God chose to do this to shepherds, to appear to shepherds and announce the birth of Christ. You know, usually when a baby is born to royalty, Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Usually when a royal baby is born, they have a spectacular announcement. It's in the throne room, and all the noble and royal figures are there, and there's trumpeters and there's music, and it's in a throne room of splendor and joy and glory and opulence. But the first announcement of the birth of Jesus was to a group of lowly shepherds watching sheep in a field outside a little hamlet called Bethlehem. But certainly the angelic announcement, that was spectacular, and that was worthy of a king, worthy of our King Jesus. And then just like that in verse 15, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, and I think that when the angels disappeared, it was like that. They were there, and then they were gone. You didn't see them trail off one by one. You know, "Yo, Gabriel, hurry up." They just were gone. And so just imagine, you have this, the light, the sky filled up with light, and within a second, it's completely dark again. And I think the shepherds were blinking their eyes, trying to get their sight back. And they were in awe, and they were stunned, and they were amazed. And so the angels leave, and the shepherds, they say to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And so they hurried off. Now that's interesting. They're there to watch their sheep, to make sure none of these Arabian or Asiatic lions or Arabian wolves eat them. But at that point, their priority was not the sheep. It was to come and to worship their Messiah, to see the Christ child. So in essence, they said to the sheep, "You're on your own." And they ran to Bethlehem as fast as they could to see Jesus. And so they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, who was lying in the manger. And I believe they worshipped him. They worshipped him. They bowed before him, which would be the custom to bow before your king. And they worshipped him and acknowledged him as their king, as their Lord, as their Messiah. And they had great joy in their hearts that they were seeing Jesus. And so when they had seen him, look what they did, verse 17. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They told everybody that he is our Savior, that he is our Messiah, that he is the Lord. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Mary was there with the baby Jesus, her son, and she treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, childbirth is a glorious, wonderful time for a mom, but this was like the mother of all childbirths. They hear the shepherds come worshiping baby Jesus, and they tell them about the angels glorifying and praising God in the skies. The shepherds, in verse 20, it says they returned. Returned to what? Returned to being shepherds. They still had sheep to tend. But something was different. Their lives were never going to be the same. They returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard, what the angel told them, what they had seen, the angels in the sky, and the baby Jesus that they saw. And all these things were just as they had been told. That they saw, when they saw the baby Jesus, he was just exactly as the angel said he would be. And so they went around shepherding their sheep. That was their job. They still had sheep to care for. But their hearts were filled with praise and adoration and worship for what they had seen. Worship of Jesus. So this is the story of the shepherds and the joy that they had. And I want to share with you just some takeaways, some applications for you and myself that apply not just to the shepherds, but to them as well. And there are four of them. The first takeaway, the first application for you and me is this. Because of Jesus, the shepherds were never the same. Because of Jesus, the shepherds' lives were never the same. And we could say equally true, because of Jesus, if you know him as your Savior, because of Jesus, your life and my life is never the same. You know, think back to the time, to the day when you embraced and asked Christ into your heart to be your Lord and Savior from sin. From that point on, your life was never the same. It was changed. One, you were born again. Two, the Spirit of God was now indwelling you. Three, you now were a son and daughter of your Heavenly Father in heaven. You know, four, you were part of the universal church, and this church is a reflection, is a picture of the universal church. So you have a multitude of brothers and sisters in Christ that are truly are your brothers and sisters, your family. People that you love and love you. You've passed from death unto life. You know, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." But then he goes on and he says, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And so for a Christian, the moment that you trusted in Christ as your Savior, you were given the gift of eternal life. It doesn't begin for a Christian when you die, but eternal life began for you the moment that you became a follower of Jesus Christ. And so when a Christian dies, we pass from this life into the very presence of Jesus. We go home, because our true citizenship is in heaven. So the first takeaway is this, that because of Jesus coming and you embracing Him as your Savior, your life, my life, is never the same. We have Jesus now, and that's something to celebrate and to have joy about. A second takeaway is that because of Jesus, the shepherds are bubbling over with joy. They had joy inside. They were thrilled. They were like filled with joy indescribable and full of glory. But that joy also bubbled over. It's kind of like, you know, soda. You shake the bottle. You open up the lid. It just kind of bubbles all over. Well, that was their joy too. They went around telling everybody what they had seen. And I'm sure some of them wondered if they maybe had a little bit too much shepherd wine in the fields. But they were excited because they saw something that night, the baby Jesus and the angels announcing His birth, that forever changed their lives. And so the shepherds bubbled over with joy, both inside and outside. And again, because of Jesus, you and myself, we can also and should be bubbling over with joy, both on the inside and on the outside. Doesn't mean we're not going to have tough days. Doesn't mean we're not going to shed tears. Doesn't mean we're not going to feel down some days. But in the midst of it all, like when I was in the hospital, and there is real question about 40% of the people who go into the hospital with endocarditis, about 40% of them don't make it out. They die in the hospital. You know, and smartphones are great, but you know, my daughter, who's a medical doctor, she says, "Dad, stop looking at your smartphone, because I Google endocarditis mortality rates." You know, and she says, "Dad, that's not you. You're different. You're not part of that percentage. You're just you. God is watching over you." Yeah, but Jenna says 40%. You know, and so I had some blue times and sad times. But in the midst of it all, I knew that if I die, I'll wake up and I'll see Jesus. And that was good. And that was okay. And that would be a time of joy. So we have joy that's on the inside, a joy and a peace that passes all understanding. But you and I should also have a joy that bubbles over like soda that has been shaken in a bottle, that we should tell people. And you may think, "Yes, but I'm an introvert. I'm shy." That's okay. You may not believe this, but I am too. You know, one of my favorite songs is "I Come to the Garden Alone." My brother Gary, he's moved down from New Hampshire, and he's a gardener, and they live in an apartment, and they just have a little balcony garden. And he said, "You know, I'd love to help you with your garden." Well, this is when the awkward turtle walked into the room, because I had to tell my brother, I said, "Gary, I love you, but I really like the garden just by myself." He took it well. Let's see if he calls me today for my birthday. But I'm an introvert. You may not believe that, but I really am. I like people. Being introverted doesn't mean you don't like people. But I like quiet times with just me and the Lord. And yet, I will bubble over with joy and tell people about Jesus. And you know, the simplest thing you can do is tell people about your own testimony. What has Jesus done for you? Tell people about answers to prayers. Tell people about the time, the day in your life that you asked Jesus to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. You just tell them a story. You know, many of us are going to be talking about the Eagles on Tuesday morning, good or bad. Well, on Tuesday morning, you can also talk about what Jesus has done for you, which is all good. All good. So Because the shepherds bubbled over with joy when they saw Jesus, you and I should also bubble over with joy because Jesus has come into this world. There's a third takeaway. Because of Jesus, the shepherds worshiped the Lord. It says that they glorified and praised God. And it didn't happen just when they saw the baby Jesus lying in the manger. But they worshiped and praised God as they went about shepherding. As they watched the sheep, they worshiped and praised the Lord. You know, worship is an individual thing. It starts individually with you in your heart. Where you just throughout the day, you just practice the presence of the Lord and you thank Jesus for loving you, for blessing you, for being good to you, for dying on the cross for your sins, for rising again from the dead. You just praise and worship God in your own soul. But then what I really like is Sunday morning. I love Sunday and I love church. Because Sunday morning you get to come, not just by yourself, but with your brothers and sisters, people who are also redeemed. And together, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we lift up praise and thanksgiving to the Lord. We worship Him. And I'll be honest, it's better than an Eagles game to come to church on Sunday morning and to worship our Jesus. And so because of Jesus, you and myself should adopt a lifestyle of worshiping and praising God. And then the fourth takeaway is this. Because of Jesus, the shepherds were excited to see that God's plan was moving forward. That God's plan was coming to pass. Again, you know, they had shepherded these flocks for days, for years, and everything was the same old, same old. Rome was still in charge of Israel. Herod was still the evil king on the throne. Life was still pretty mundane and bleak. There was not much hope. Things were just the same. And then the angels appear to the shepherds and announce the birth of Jesus. And they go and they see the baby Jesus, just as the shepherds, just as the angels said. And they knew at that moment that God was on the move, that God was doing something spectacular, that God's plan was being set in motion. Jesus is the Messiah. He's a baby. What that means is he's going to be growing up. That there was more to come. There were more chapters to God's plan that were going to be unfolding in the days and years ahead. But they knew that God's plan was coming to pass. And they saw at the very beginning the birth of Jesus. And friends, you and myself, we can do like the shepherds did. We can be excited and joyful knowing that God's plan has been set in motion. Jesus Christ came to this world according to the prophecies in the Old Testament. He was born. He grew up. He died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. He ascended back to the Father. He said he's coming back one day. In the meantime, you and myself are to do kingdom work and build the church. But God's plan is in motion and it is unstoppable. And the day will come in which all wars will cease, and there will be a new heavens and a new earth. And all the things that you and myself pray about, people sick, people dying, people distressed, all those things will be done away with. And everything will be new. And there will be no more tears, and no more suffering, and no more death, and no more sadness, and no more pain. And all of this was set in motion with the birth of our Lord. And that day is coming. And you and I can have joy this Christmas season knowing that God's plan is moving along. It has been set in motion and it is unstoppable. It will come to pass in God's timing. So because of Jesus, we can be excited that God's plan will come to pass and all the bad things of this life will be done away with one day and everything will be new, brand new and good. So Advent is the celebration of the first coming of Christ, but it's also the celebration of his second coming, which is yet to come. And on this third Sunday in Advent where we lit the joy candle, the shepherd candle, you and I can have great joy this morning. We can have great joy that Jesus Christ is alive and well and building his kingdom and coming again. And so we join with the Apostle Paul, or rather the Apostle John. We join with him and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful story that you chose to include in the Gospel of Luke. When the shepherds came and saw the Christ child, and it was announced to them by the angels, thousands of angels having this spectacular concert in heaven, and they had great joy and great excitement and enthusiasm, and they came and saw the baby Jesus and worshipped him. And then they left, and they continued to worship him, and they continued to tell others about the good news of the gospel. So, Lord God, we thank you that we're no different than they are. We thank you, Lord, that we too can experience this joy. We can feel this joy, and that we can have this joy bubble up within us, and we can have joy in our own soul, even in the midst of tears and sadness. We can know that you are King, that you love us, that you're for us, and that you're with us, and that you do all things well. You know what you're doing, and we can rest in that. And we can also then tell others that Jesus Christ came into this world to save sinners. He came into this world loving them so that they too can know him as their Savior. So Lord, may this be a joyous day for each of us. It's a little rainy and gloomy outside, but Lord, in the inside of our hearts, our soul, let us be filled with joy and worship and praise. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, who is the greatest joy giver of all. Amen.